For broadcasting or advertising opportunities, call 1-888-303-3884 or visit wildfireradio.com and click on Contacts.
You are listening to The Straight Shooters exclusively on Wildfire Radio. Subscribe to The Straight Shooters podcast on iTunes by visiting the iTunes Store and download every episode on wildfireradio.com. Now, here's Vaughn Johnson and Nick Picone bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
Yeah, as always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone.
That's me.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
Oh my God!
Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's going on, everybody out there in internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone, the Philly voice, Philly influencer, and you are listening and watching episode 185 of The Straight Shooters on a multitude of platforms. But before I get into those platforms, Nick, how you doing tonight, my good brother, on this snowy evening, slushy, nasty evening here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, after we record this, I get to go outside and shovel all that great snow we got today.
Nice.
Out of the way in my car and sidewalks. So, I'm very, very much looking forward to that. But, hey,
you sound like you're not looking forward to it at all, actually.
Well, I got the day off, so there you go. It was pretty bad, you know, during the course of the day here. I think it died down, maybe a couple hours ago, but, it didn't look good. So it was a good thing a lot of cars weren't out there during the brunt of it. Almost looked like a blizzard out there, but it's not that bad, you know. But hopefully, apparently, yeah. I'm saying that I've heard that was like kind of the last storm that's anticipated, knock on wood, because now we're moving forward to spring, man. Let's go.
Kind of March yet, so you know spring ain't like right around
Let's
the corner.
Let's go.
Yet.
Come on, Bryce. Here, you know. Bryce Harper to Philly.
It might be the end of spring training before we hear anything about that. But
true.
like I said, it was nasty. That is your weekly weather report, I should say, from the Straight Shooters, as we always talk about the weather at the top of the show for some reason. But what's nicer than the weather here in Philadelphia? All of our platforms you can find our show on. Of course, if you're listening to us, or if you're watching us live, I should say, you're watching us on YouTube. And if you want to interact with us live, you can do that on the left side of your screen over here if you're watching it. So don't be shy. Make sure to reach out to us on YouTube. If you're listening to us on the download, thank you, by the way. You're probably listening to us on one of these platforms. But if you're a first-time listener or you listen to us on, like, you know, some other medium that I don't know of or something like that, here's the ones you can find us on that you can get us straight to us, straight to your phone or your device, your streaming device, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Spotify, SoundCloud, and of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com. We can find all 184 prior episodes to The Straight Shooters. We're 185 in here, which is
That's crazy.
I remember episode 100. Now it's like almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We're almost at episode 200.
Yeah, episode 101 was our start on YouTube. So almost 100 episodes in on YouTube. How about that?
Yeah. There's 100 episodes in the studio, and now up to almost 100 on YouTube and all the other platforms that we're on a weekly basis. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. You can find our exclusive content on there for only the nominal fee of $1.99. Our most recent Patreon creation on there was a sit-down discussion with ECW and just wrestling legend in general, Blue Meanie, who sat down and talked to us about the time I got a special piece of jewelry at the ECW Arena. Of course, ECW Arena is the place where he made his wrestling career, his wrestling name, along with many others back in the day in Extreme Championship Wrestling. So it's kind of funny to see those kind of our worlds colliding, so to speak. You know, me being a football fan and working for the Eagles, and Blue Meanie, of course, also being a football fan and being a fan of the Eagles, and of course, having, you know, numerous, you know, legendary days and nights at the ECW Arena. So if you wouldn't listen to that, it's, I think, one of our best shows, period. Patreon or non-Patreon shows, I think it's still one of our best shows that we've ever recorded, if we ever produce. Check it out, patreon.com/shootersradio. Again, you can get it with a nominal fee of $1.99. So
yeah, I just kicked back, put my feet up, and listened to the stories roll out from you and the Blue Meanie. So that was,
yeah,
that was great for me too.
And shout out to the Blue Meanie for joining us. And we will have him on again in the future. So, you know, keep your ears open, keep your eyes open. We will be having some more content with Blue Meanie in the future. I'm not sure. We haven't discussed whether it's going to be a Patreon exclusive or not, but we're definitely going to do something with Blue Meanie in the near future in 2019. So shout out to him and keep an eye out for that in the future. But we're talking about, I just mentioned the future. It got me thinking. We saw a glimpse of WWE's future, or what they would call their future, Monday and Tuesday night. Because Triple H, out of seemingly nowhere, had four of his top stars from NXT debut on the main roster. Aleister Black, Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa were on Raw and SmackDown and were beating top guys. Not, and no pun intended when I say that. They beat DIY, which, yeah, DIY tag teamed up again. Beat the Revival. Ricochet helped Finn Balor beat Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush. Aleister Black. Who did Aleister Black be? I can't remember off the top of my head. But he won his match.
He beat some Elias, I think, on
Elias. Then Monday night. Then he beat Andrade on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Either way, they're beating top guys. They're winning matches. They're on, I don't know if they're on the main roster to stay. Regardless, that with no backstory and no real continuity with what's happening in NXT, I guess we'll find out more tonight when they make their big announcement. They're on the main roster. At least they were on the main roster Monday and Tuesday. And it got me to thinking, and I think it got other people to thinking too, it's just like these call-ups in NXT, from NXT have been just, for whatever reason, and I think I'm at the point now where I'm no longer optimistic about when someone gets called up to the main roster. And I get to thinking, like, what went wrong with so many people who were stars in NXT, who had like real buzz about them and the characters and like story. And then they get to the main roster and they're just in a wasteland of just there. They're just hanging out. And some people kind of stay afloat and kind of like kind of ride out that malaise stage of being on the main roster. And they kind of like, still kind of stars, like maybe like an Elias, maybe Bailey, names come to mind. But some just fall completely off the wayside, like No Way Jose or Adam Rose or countless others. So what we're going to do is kind of go through the history of these call-ups. How are we going to do that? Well, I went to the internet, folks. I scoured the internet for a list of all the call-ups, not counting the ones that just recently got called up, including the four from this past week. And also, we're not counting Heavy Machinery, Lacey Evans, who else got called up? EC3, Nikki Cross, because it's still too early to tell with these guys and gals. But everybody else is fair game. And we're talking from Finn Balor to Seth Rollins, Big E to No Way Jose, you know, Dean Ambrose to Paige to Oscar. Like, all those guys are all technically NXT call-ups. And as you can see, there are varying degrees of success with these call-ups. Like, wide ranges of success.
Yep.
Which I guess is to be expected when you have so many people.
Right.
Because from what I counted, there are at least 60 since June 2012 when NXT became its own thing. That's pretty much WWE's roster right now. You look up and down WWE's roster, there are very few people on the main roster that haven't been called off from NXT in some way. I can probably count them on one hand, the guys that didn't really spend time in NXT, like Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Titus O'Neil. I'm running out of
AJ Styles.
Right, AJ, he could have easily, but he went straight to the main roster. I guess Anderson and Gallows would count towards that. The Usos. But other than that, I mean, that's like eight acts right there that I just counted off that. Or Kofi Kingston. But even Titus O'Neil and Daniel Bryan, they were on the original incarnation of NXT. They didn't do the developmental part of NXT. But the point is, there are very few people who have spent time on that's on the main roster now that have spent time in NXT in some way, shape, or form. So before we get dig deep into this discussion, because we're going to talk about some of the top call-ups, some of the worst call-ups, some of the best ones, some of the ones who, you know, they had potential, but they just didn't cash in on, or some of the surprises, some of the top independent talent, some of the top homegrown talent. We're going to talk about all that and just kind of go through a lot of these names and talk about them a little bit, what happened, where they went wrong. But before we get into that discussion, I want to ask you about what you saw this past Monday and Tuesday night, Nick. What do you think about Ricochet, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and Aleister Black just popping up on Raw with really no explanation whatsoever?
Well, they certainly made them look good, which I think, you know, first and foremost, might have hopefully been their objective. Not so much as, hey, these are the four NXT talents that are going to run WWE in, you know, like a few months or anything like that. It's still open-ended too. I'm not sure that, like, there's probably reports floating out there of like their plans with, you know, these four specifically, and maybe even more NXT talent. But, you know, my first inclination was to believe that it's kind of like a showcase, maybe for SmackDown and Fox, you know, like, not that they're all going to wind up there, but like, hey, I know it's like, you know, months away, like what, 10, 9, 8, months away. And like this is the future. Like, this is what you'll be seeing when SmackDown moves to Fox and even on Raw, you know, in the future, which is kind of weird because they I think it's like the first time they really did that. You know, they talk about like, you know, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Randy Orton, like those guys, they didn't all debut on one night where Vince McMahon's like, hey, here's the future. Like, it's pretty cool. I think the logic that was missing, you know, from the NXT to the main roster, I expected that. I don't think there's the same audience in the casual crowd of Monday Night Raw or even SmackDown that pays as much attention to NXT as we would like to think. I think as a whole, like wrestling fans should, a lot of them think that, man, if you like wrestling, like you should pay attention to everything that's going on, you know, like, because if someone debuts and you don't know who it is, like, that's your fault. Not really. Like, it could be a family night out, you know, like the parents don't watch the kids, you know, do they really have the network at home or do they watch, you know, on their own? Who knows? So I thought it was a good debut. Like, first week, like, I don't know what the future will hold, like, you know, in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even up until Mania. Like, they might get a showcase match at Mania, which would be kind of cool to see in a way. But it's all about, you know, I don't think they should be having the same type of matches every single week. That's kind of what I'm afraid of, because we, on Raw and SmackDown, we kind of see similar matches every single week. Hey, they might be good matches, but there's no like surprise. There's no like having a good match is having a good match, but it really doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. So I kind of feel like these four, even though two of them are current NXT champions, but Gargano is going to defend it tonight as of this recording, but there might be less than that, you know, when you're watching this or listening to this, but I think they should kind of rotate. You know, they shouldn't have the same four every week. But for this week, I thought it was kind of cool. It was something different. I'm not worried about the possible ramifications it might have regarding their reaction, like later on down the road, whether they utilize these when they start putting them in storylines, like, I don't know. I don't think they're just going to go back down to NXT and then come back up. I think, like, you got to kind of got to keep them by there in the eye a little bit.
I mean, you mentioned that, you know, the matches sometimes on Raw and SmackDown don't mean anything. And these matches, their whole call-up, just what was the meaning behind it? Why? What's the point? That's my whole biggest issue. I don't mind seeing them on the main roster. Obviously, that's good for them. But, like, this came seemingly out of nowhere. You see news reports that they were scrambling and rewriting the show at the last minute, which is not really uncommon for WWE, especially with Raw. But it's just like, you got these guys. I mean, this is, I think we talked about it when, what was this, 2017, when they did TakeOver. I guess that was 3 by that point. When Adam Cole first showed up. And I was like, yeah, they got NXT's about to go on a run with, like, they're about to do something special for the next year or two. And they're still in that run. Mm-hmm. They elevated Gargano, Ciampa, Aleister Black has become a top guy in that promotion. Velveteen Dream came up big. I mean, who saw that coming, right? And then, of course, Ricochet has delivered on his potential in NXT. They got a lot going for, especially at the top of that.
And he's brand. A newer guy, too. He's only been there, right. What, a year, maybe?
A year. So, and, of course, Adam Cole's still in the mix. So, you got these guys who got established characters, and the story between Gargano and Ciampa, while it's taking as many turns and twists and stuff like that, is a real deep and depth story that goes back pretty much, what, 3 years now? Mm. When Ciampa turned on Gargano, that was 2016. So we're looking at, that was 2016, right?
Was that 2017? I forget, but
that's probably 2017, actually. I take that back.
I know he hurt himself, so it kind of, it makes it right. A bit longer. So.
It delayed it. It was 2017. That's still 2 years of a story and all this investment that people have in these characters and these stories, and then you just plop them in the middle of Raw with no explanation, and then Gargano and Ciampa just teaming up like nothing ever happened between. And I understand they're kind of both bad guys now, and maybe they can let bygones be bygones, but we didn't see that. They're just there. They're DIY again. They're beating the Revival again, like old times. It's like, what? Like,
well, they were like reluctant partners in NXT, but I don't think they
didn't look reluctant on Monday.
Brought that up, yeah.
And yeah, they didn't bring it up. And it's just nothing. There's no video packages. All you got is really like Michael Cole, who, talented as he is,
read the script.
Right, read the script. You can tell. I like Michael Cole. I think he's good. It's just WWE has kind of ruined his credibility. You know, if he says something is cool, no one believes him because it's Michael Cole telling you it's cool. Like, okay, Michael Cole, you're telling me what's cool? Like, you're the guy who's big dog every single week. Like, I don't...
And it's just funny because on Monday when Triple H was like pointing to the screen and they showed the, you know, pictures, you just have Michael Cole kind of running down the resume. It was like, oh, here's Ricochet, the high flying, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on.
And I understand they did tweet out the thing beforehand, and so I guess he should have been prepared, I guess. But whatever. The point is...
You just knew he was reading, and it didn't sound authentic, you know.
Right. It's just, I don't know. I understand your point in that there is a difference between the NXT audience and the Raw audience, that those audience could be, not only is the main roster audience greater, it could be completely different, but that's on WWE to not just plop them in the middle of the show. You got to educate people about who these people are.
In that city, too. That was an all-time bad Raw crowd.
And I saw a lot of the reaction to that too, but that's still, you still got to get people invested. Even that crowd can become invested in a character if you give them a reason to be invested.
Yeah.
I think that's just me, but it's just, I don't know.
That makes sense.
It just seems completely out of nowhere, completely out of left field. And that somehow fits WWE. Like, they just randomly, we need to shake something up. We need to do something now, pull something, do it now. And just, we'll fill in the blanks later. Which, yeah. I've heard that a lot about WWE over the years. If you talk to talent, like with interviews, or if you listen to podcasts with various talent from over the years, you hear that a lot. All right, well, we didn't think about that at the time. Let's just do this now. Let's forget about everything else, and let's move on with what we have now. And there's really no thought or quality control put into the details. And
it's almost like, I feel, in a way, to your point, and that's a good thing you brought that up, that in the middle of the Monday Night Wars or whatever, it's kind of like you don't feel like you would see that. Like everything was week to week, whatever, but there was always kind of like a reason behind it. And now they feel like they can do that because there's legitimately no secondary competition to them. So they're like, hey, if it doesn't work out, it sucks for the talent, but we can overcome that with somebody else. And in the grand scheme of the WWE brand, like, I understand like that thought process, but it kind of sucks for the talent because then you kind of ruin them. And, but it doesn't matter to you that you ruin them. And that kind of, that, like, I don't know why they do that, but at the same time, I almost feel like that's their philosophy. That's how it comes across to me, that they're, that's why they do things that don't make sense. They're like, all right, we'll fill in the blanks, but if it doesn't make sense, oh well, we'll just find something else to do. And that's a detriment to the program and like the audience. And like, I don't know. They don't give enough credit, you know, to their viewers a lot of times.
Yeah. And that's always been an issue.
We realize that. And
they've been insulting our intelligence for a long time, and we just kind of just roll with that, I guess, because we love wrestling.
that's a good quote. Yeah.
It's true. But, like I said, that happening Monday night got me to thinking about all of the other NXT call-ups that have happened pretty much since 2012, when NXT became its own thing, a weekly television show. Essentially became developmental. Uh-huh. Like I said, when I scoured the internet and I stumbled upon and I ended upon a What Culture story. Shout out to WhatCulture.com, I guess, because they're known for doing these damn rankings and lists. and I usually don't pay attention to them, but this time I did because I needed it. Like, material. Only What Culture would have all the names of the talent that's been called up from NXT. And I didn't pay attention to the ranking so much as I did just want to gather the names so I can have at least some, like, you know, list of names that have been called up from NXT over the last now 7 years or so. And like I said, it's been at least 60 people since 2012 that's been called up. And it's quite the list of names. And like I said, all these people have been some of these people aren't with the company anymore, which is funny. But it's an interesting list. My first question to you, though, before we dig into this list is, what does WWE go wrong with a lot of these talents? Like, just kind of overall, we'll dig into where they went wrong with each person or where they went right with each person, because they get some right. But what do you think they went wrong with overall with NXT call-ups, and why don't they kind of mirror the success they have in NXT? Which, before you answer that question, let me say that we do understand that especially Raw is a 3-hour show. It's live every week, and NXT is a 1-hour show that's not live every week, and it's a smaller audience, and there are differences, obviously, to how it's produced and how it's run, but where does WWE still go wrong? Why is there a disconnect between WWE and its developmental, which is supposed to be developing talent for its main roster? Where is that disconnect, do you think?
I think it's not, you know, and maybe there's a reason for this, but not bringing them up in kind of like the same type of character they have, and like what made them popular in NXT, whether as a heel or a babyface, and you move to the main roster, and even if there's subtle tweaks to someone's character, it can mean a world of difference. And I think in a good way, I'll wait till we start listing them, but there are people that kind of weren't doing too hot in NXT that got called up that have it made right now on the main roster. Like, they're a feature every week, and they've gotten popular because of that. But I think obviously more people that have gotten called up, and they just kind of mess around with what they're doing and whatever made them popular in NXT, and they just fall flat on the main roster. And it happens all too often, but with the amount of talent they have, I look at it, I'm like, it kind of makes sense. Like, not everybody can be successful in the same situation, and even different situations. Like, you can't, whatever number they called up, you know, you said like it was around 60 or something since 2012. Like, 60. You can't have 60 people along with the people that were already on the main roster that some are still there. Like, it's just too much. Like, you can't have them on TV every week or even every other week. It's just too much. The talent pool is kind of diluted because of that, because you have too much good talent, which is obviously a problem with the way they use it on the main roster. So they just that might be part of it. You know, they're like, whatever made you popular at NXT, we know the main roster audience of Raw and SmackDown, that they're not going to react the same. So we have to do this or we have to do that. And it could ruin or make a career.
So you're saying that pretty much that because they got so much talent, they can't focus on enough talent to get that talent over. It's just
like you said, this past week, you know, they were rewriting Raw like that. We heard about that in WCW towards the end. You know, that's what, you know, and it seemed like, you know, back then Raw was like laid well out in advance. There was nobody talking about how Vince was like rewriting Raw even during the show. And then obviously everyone was like, oh, well, that's why WCW died. But now that it's happening, you know, WWE is not going to die, but you could see why some talent's not getting over on the main roster versus when they did in NXT.
Yeah, I think it's just, like you said, it's just a disconnect. It's like WWE, the main shows, obviously there's two different entities. There's Vince McMahon and his creative teams for Raw and SmackDown, and there's Triple H and his creative team for NXT. And NXT really works on the development of the character, and they really take their time, where I guess it's just the environment of the main roster. They can't take their time because it's a week-to-week thing. You're doing live TV. And you're working for like a guy like Vince McMahon who is constantly like, boom, 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 like, let's do this, let's do that. There's so much going on. And like you said, things just get lost sometimes, like quality control, whereas NXT, they can take their time and they can really map out the details, and they just don't do that with WWE. And they try to, I don't know, they try to change some things. It's like, don't, sometimes something works. There's a reason why it works.
Yes.
Don't try to change it. Don't try to tweak it because, oh, that ain't going to work up here. Like, well, we're going to make this work for the main roster. No, let's try to like make it, see if it works first. And then if it doesn't work, then you can tweak it. Like,
yeah.
You know, like Bobby Roode, for prime example, a bona fide heel in NXT. He was never a babyface. Yeah, he got cheered because people liked his entrance and they liked his theme song. But he is character.
Your first mistake, by the way. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, look, whatever can get you over can get you. Whatever can get you over and make people like you or like want to see you, whatever. That don't mean your character has to reflect that. If people might like your song, but they should boo the character. That's what happened with Bobby Roode. People would boo Bobby Roode, even though they liked his song. Right? As soon as he gets to the main roster, he's a babyface. He's been a babyface ever since. It's been over a year. He's never been a heel on the main roster. What?
He's been on both brands, too.
I can tell you right now, even going back to his days in TNA, Bobby Roode was a great heel. When he first broke away from the Team Canada, he was the Robert Roode, you know? Then he became the It Factor, right? And people will change his name and make it the other factor. You're not going to say that because you got families watching, families listening. But great heel. He's always a good heel. WWE, babyface. But, it's just, I don't know. It's just trying to change things. It's just, like I said, it's a big disconnect between the main roster and NXT. So let's go through some of these names. Let's go through some of the successes, right? Because there's a lot of successes. Right off the bat, you got to go with the Shield.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, all three of them are former world champions. Two of them won the Royal Rumble. Main events of WrestleMania. I mean, you name it. Money in the Bank cash-ins. Money in the Bank wins. They've done pretty much everything you could do in wrestling. And Seth Rollins has got a main event coming up this year at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar. All three of them have WrestleMania matches against Brock Lesnar. That's crazy to think about. And none of them have won.
And in 2016, Ambrose was the second to last guy in the Rumble when Triple H won. And right. I kind of forget about that because, like, so you said, like, two Rumble winners. They were really close to all being Rumble winners.
Right. So they've all been, like, Intercontinental Champions, U.S. Champions. Yeah. I mean, they literally all held all those titles. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not even, like, I'm not exaggerating. All three of them have been Intercontinental Champion. All three of them have been WWE Champion. All three of them have been U.S. Champion. That's ridiculous, right? Yeah. So, and it's not just because they've won so many titles. It's because they are top stars. Seth Rollins is a top guy. Roman Reigns, we've talked about it for years, is a top guy. Dean Ambrose, he might be on his way out, but he's a top guy when he's there. So, obviously, that's bona fide. Like, yes, that worked. Now, to be honest, that was like the very beginnings of NXT as its own brand. And they came up as the Shield together. And they came up at a time where they weren't like, there were a bunch of guys at WWE, like there were a bunch of WWE guys in the roster. They weren't like a bunch of independent guys that they brought in. And, you know, it was a different time when they came up. And it was only like, 7 years ago. But it's almost like night and day between what WWE looks like today and what WWE was back then.
Yeah, and that spot, too. It wasn't like a mid-card, low-level spot. It was like they right at the top. Main event. Yeah.
They're at the top right from jump. So,
And maybe that helped them, but also, you know, you can't go against that. Like, all of them, they deserve that. You know, with all their accolades, like, it's not like WWE gave it to them. They kind of earned it.
And NXT wasn't what it was today. No one was really watching it back then. There was no WWE Network back then. So... Right. They were pretty much unknown. So people knew who Seth Rollins was, but not on a wide scale, right? Yeah, he was Tyler Black in Ring of Honor, but like big time, large scale, people didn't know who he was like that. No one knew who Roman Reigns was. Mm-hmm. And again, some people did know who Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley was, but again, not on a wide scale, not on a large scale. So they're relative unknowns. And they've made their mark pretty much mostly on the main roster. But Seth Rollins, first NXT champion. So.
Yeah.
He's only one of the three that held the NXT title. How about that? But some of the other successes. How about Big E, Xavier Woods with the New Day?
Absolutely.
You know, they've done very well for themselves. Then you got to go to the women. I mean, the women, if there's one area where they probably kind of flourished from NXT to the main roster, it's probably the women. I mean, there are some cases where they did not flourish, but Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Bayley, who we could probably put her on the other side of this. Who's like, they kind of messed up with her.
Right.
But all things considered, she's still having a good run. Tag team champion, women's champion. And all of them have been women's champions. But Asuka's a women's champion now. So they got some sick. There are some stars that have come out of the women's division that have been, you know, like, okay, they've done good. I mean, they could probably do better with Asuka and Bayley and even Sasha Banks. But it's not a complete failure.
Yeah, and you mentioned before Paige too. Like, imagine she didn't have a career-ending injury; she's right up there too. But even as a character, you know, she's still up there. She's good to have on TV. And the jury's probably still out on Ruby Riott. And you know, but hey, like, I'm still impressed with her. Like, she went from that pay-per-view match against Rousey to like a legitimate, you know, main event on Monday Night Raw and looked good. So I think that was good for her.
I don't understand why they couldn't have done that in Elimination Chamber though.
Yeah, but
why did you do that on Raw?
I understand that, but at the same, in my head, I'm like, wow, so it's like a squash at the pay-per-view, but then you get the main event slot the next night on Raw. So to me, it's like, okay, like I could see if they explained it to her like that, she would have been like, okay.
There's always the wider audience on TV, more people are watching on TV, more eyeballs. But people are feasibly paying for the Elimination Chamber. That's what that's literally called a pay-per-view. Now it's not a pay-per-view in the sense that it used to be. It's more of a network special, but still. Yeah. What? Like, make people pay for the good match and you give away the jobber match on TV. Like that's how wrestling used to be. But again, for the most part, I would say that if there's more successes on one side or the other, for men and women, I would say more women. I mean, if you go by at least like who held top championships. So like I counted, I think 9 women that have been caught up from NXT since 2012 have held like either the Raw or women's Raw or SmackDown women's title. So that's Carmella, Bayley, Paige. I'll include the Divas title in this too. Carmella, Bayley, Paige, Sasha Banks, Asuka, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Charlotte. So that's 9. Whereas the men is not quite as many, but, you know, you got Seth, Dean, Roman, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, and that's kind of 5 there. I might be missing 1 or 2 that on my list here that I got up. Bray Wyatt is on that list because he was a former WWE champion.
Oh, wow.
6 or 7.
For a month. Yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah. You know, hey, no matter how long the reign is, it's a fact.
I agree.
Former WWE champion, but...
And then you could argue, you know, why not put it on them when they were red hot, but...
Look, that's a whole different discussion for a different day.
The whole Wyatt family thing, it was kind of like a... I thought it was like a success, I guess, but then, like, it just kind of rolled off after the whole Daniel Bryan thing. You know, like, I thought that kind of damaged their credibility. But it
the whole John Cena thing really damaged them.
Well, yeah. And it's funny because
they could have had some. That was like the tipping point. Like, all right, you make them real top star. And they're like, nope, we're going to have them lose John Cena.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else. Yeah. Same thing happened to Rusev. But speaking of Rusev, and the thing about Rusev is like, put him in the category of, maybe he's in the category of people who haven't quite reached their potential. So that's a different category. You have the successes and you have the people who've done good, but man, they could do so much more. Rusev is at the top of that list for me. Yeah. The guy who just like, he's got the look, he's got the ability, and in the recent years we've seen he's got personality.
Mm-hmm. Or that organically got him over, you know? It's right. Not
everything that they wanted from a talent, he's kind of done it. He's like Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Did everything they wanted, and it's still like, not enough. He's got a beautiful wife. Like, what more do you want from this guy? Yeah. And it just hasn't, he's barely had WWE championship matches. Like, in the brand extension time, you mean tell me Rusev can at least get a match for the title? Let alone he should have probably already been champion by this point. Well, if Jinder Mahal can get a title for 7 months, Rusev can't be champion. It's unreal to think about, especially how they built him up back in 2014 into 2015 when he rolled out on WrestleMania, rolled out to WrestleMania on a freaking tank for a match against John Cena on a tank, and he can't get WWE championship matches. But all right, but Rusev's on that list for me of potential, you know, people that could have been so much more. Bailey, I got to put him on there because. Oh, I've got to put Finn Balor on a successes, even though he could probably be more too, but he's Intercontinental Champion now. He was Universal Champion. They were about to strap the rocket to him, then he got hurt.
Yeah.
So, but they don't use the demon. It's just so weird. It's like it's like, yeah, he's good, but maybe he's on this list. Finn Balor, forget it. I'll put him on there because to me, I once called him and Bayley the two most important call ups in NXT history, and I thought that those were going to be the two like. Top star for the men and top star for the women moving forward, and that has not been the case.
No, and it's almost like with Bayley, they put the championship on her too late, and then with Finn, they were ready right away, and then he got hurt. So it's like, man, what they did with Finn, like, I was all about. I was like, okay, like, this really is the new era. You know, they're going to go with Finn. The next day, we find out, like, he's out, and it's like, damn. But then with Bayley, I think she had like a title match before she actually won it. I could be mistaken, but just in my head, I'm thinking of that time frame, and I'm like, she lost, and then there was all these like bad matches, like they weren't even good, and I'm just like, oh no, like what are they doing to her?
It wasn't just bad matches; it was also the bad promos. What I don't know if it was just her, but that Bayley, this is your life thing that she did with Alexa Bliss was awful, and then they did the whole. Thing where she didn't want to use the kendo stick on Alexa Bliss
during
an Extreme Rules match. It's like, you can get away with it. It's okay because there's no rules in this match. And she didn't do it. I think that character choice for her was just, it killed her, in my opinion, at least for the time being, at least for a while. Because it's like, yeah, we get it. You're the goody two shoes. And that's why people liked her so much. But it's okay to show an edge every once in a while, especially when the heel deserves it. Every babyface has done that. I don't care how white meat they've been and you know, how innocent they've been. They've all shown a slight edge because the heel deserved it. Even Bayley could do it. The Rock and Roll Express would do it. You know, like, you name a babyface team or entity or person, Hulk Hogan would do it. It's like Hulk Hogan used steel chairs on heels.
Yeah.
He did it to help Macho Man win the championship. Does it get more, you know, white me baby face than Hulk Hogan? At least in storyline, not in real life, obviously.
And even in current times, Roman Reigns showed an edge when he was, like, dealing with guys. So
it's okay.
Like, it's not a 2018, 2017 thing. Like, they should have just let her be her. And that's, you know, happy she is where she is. She still gets big reactions, but maybe if things had been a little bit differently, she would be in the main event, you know, this year at WrestleMania. But I'm not going to complain. Like, let me say this. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, like, for Bayley, man, like, for her, what the possibilities could have been, you know, before they kind of messed her up a little bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, more of the potential people. I'll put Alexa Bliss as far as the success, because she's far exceeded where she was in NXT on the main roster. She's like a 5-time women's champion already, which is kind of crazy.
That's incredible.
She was nowhere near that level in NXT, which, hey, type of stuff happens. I mean, that'd probably be another category of people who just surprises, right?
Yeah.
Let's go through the people who just haven't quite reached their potential first, right? How about Shinsuke Nakamura?
Oof.
He probably shouldn't have been an NXT call-up, but hey, he was in NXT, so he's technically a call-up, like he's coming from the minor leagues, you know, young, hot prospect. He's a top guy in Japan, couldn't be more of a top guy. And they just really didn't want to pull the trigger with him. I don't know why. He had a chance in 2017 when he was going to get Jinder Mahal. They could have pulled the trigger then. They gave before he debuted on the main roster with the Backlash match, right? Remember that? But they pretty much built the whole promotion around him. And he wasn't, I don't think he was even in the main event. And then you're thinking like, oh, they're going to straight to the top for Nakamura. And then they would let him get close and didn't have him win. It was just like, and they do it 2 or 3 times. Okay, maybe just building up for that big moment. They never did it. And I was like, what? Wait a second. You're supposed to actually let him win at some point.
And, you know, it's funny. They never did it. Rumble win notwithstanding, you know, that's kind of like a notch, you know. It didn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things, because you think he's going to have this big babyface moment, and then instead he loses, but then he turns heel. So you change the whole dynamic, and you're like, okay. And I think even we talked about it on this podcast where, okay, he turned heel, that now they'll put the title on him and kind of change things up a little bit. And they never did that. And you're just kind of like, what the hell are they doing with him then? Like, in their mind, like, what are they doing? And I don't think we ever, even when he wound up winning the U.S. title, and he's been in like these weird angles since then, it's just nothing has stuck for him.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Another person I could put on the not quite reached their potential list. I think Asuka can go on that list, even though she's like a 2-time champion or at least a 1-time champion. Yeah. But man, when she was in NXT, she was like she was rivaling Brock Lesnar as far as most dominant champion in the world.
Yeah.
She didn't lose. She literally didn't lose and she was a champion for over 500 days. And then she just got rolled up on SmackDown Tuesday. And we said this before she got called up. It was like, man, this is nice, but it's going to be a matter of time before, especially after she first lost. After her first loss, you knew it was like, damn, now they're going to just have her get rolled up randomly on the SmackDown. And that sucks. Because even before she lost to Charlotte, they kept her kind of special. She didn't lose until that, obviously. She was undefeated.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, now that they opened the door, it's like, now you know they can't wait to just use up all their little losing tropes for her.
I don't know. They're
running through them, man.
I don't know about that. No, I think this would be one that they're just trying to build that surprise, like, holy crap, like Asuka lost, where she comes back and like she wins. Like, I don't see her losing the title, even, you know, on the way to WrestleMania. I think they still keep it on her, but you gotta put that out there that, hey, like, Asuka lost to Mandy Rose, like, Mandy Rose can beat her for the title. Just like a little thing, I'm hoping, and I don't know why I'm giving them credit for doing this, because they probably shouldn't get enough credit for doing this. Because of the past, but I think this kind of brings back more of the dominant type Asuka, because we even haven't seen her for like weeks. I don't remember the last time she was on SmackDown, honestly, before this past week. I don't know what they've been doing. I know they're focusing, you know, Charlotte, like two SmackDown women, by the way, Charlotte and Becky Lynch against Rousey, which is a Raw woman, and they don't really talk about that. I don't know why. I think that should be talked about, but I think it's a thing where they're just like, holy crap, Asuka can lose. Like, remember, she can lose, but she won't.
They have her lose, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They definitely have her lose. And it's just, she went from, like I said, one of the most dominant stars to just another person. This is coming from a person who loves Asuka. I like Asuka.
Yeah.
I think she's great. Honestly, like and I thought the way that she was booked in NXT was just, I thought it was damn near perfect. And then she didn't lose No Way Out, which I know some people had an issue with. It's like, but that made her even more special once he got to the main roster. Made her way more special. And it didn't take very long before it was like, you know what? She ain't that special. She's just like everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. They have to change that mindset. But like, I don't know if it's because they want everyone to be on equal footing, but literally everyone should not be on equal footing in pro wrestling. That's not like what sells to me. Even in, I'm not WWE, but they're making the money. I understand that. But as a fan who's been following it since the Hulk Hogan era, it's like, no, this is what wrestling fans like. This is what makes sense. This is why star building is important. You know, like somebody should be special at every point. And it's funny because some of the people they try to make special, they never just put it over. You know, like even Roman Reigns, you know, he's had some big losses. You know, it's never to the point where, I guess the last one would be John Cena. Like, I still don't think Reigns is at that level. And John Cena is the guy that the very last guy that they're like, we're going to make you beat everyone. You're going to not lose for like over a year. And then we'll try something new. They really don't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's so odd. Another more on the list of people who have kind of not like reached their potential. I thought a couple names here. Samoa Joe, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman. Here's the thing. Oof. Braun Strowman is actually kind of a surprise because when he first debuted, he could barely wrestle, right? Yeah. Like no one thought he was any good. But once he got good at wrestling and then became this great character, it's like, all right, now you got something. You got lightning in a bottle. You got to take full advantage and like push him straight to the moon and then like get him close to the moon and then bring him back down. It's like, wait, what? Like you got something here. So maybe the jury is still out on Braun Strowman. I don't know. I don't think it is.
For me, it's not.
I think to me, actually, it's like I said, it's like two categories. It's like one, and you can say they've gotten far more out of Braun Strowman than they could have ever imagined.
That's true.
Because he was not a guy with a wrestling background. He's a bodybuilder who they brought in. Even when they brought him to the main roster, he didn't have that much experience, at least wrestling live. And he wasn't really, he was just standing in the corner looking big and scary. Mm-hmm. And then when they split him off on his own, that's when he finally started to find himself. But since they've done that and they got something, they just haven't, again, it's like, who else am I talking about? They haven't pulled a trigger on Shinsuke. Just haven't pulled the trigger on him for whatever reason. Don't know why. Maybe it's Brock Lesnar. Maybe that's the reason why. And I lump in kind of Samoa Joe and Drew McIntyre with him because they're like monsters. Like they're guys that can be dominant champions, dominant guys who are like killing people. And they do until they challenge for titles. Like Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe, like the same guy on an opposite brand. Like you put Samoa Joe in a title match and he suddenly can't win. But other than that, he can kill everybody.
Yeah, I think tweeted that out a couple weeks ago. I was like, Samoa Joe, the guy who has never won a big match in WWE.
No.
But at least he's still in a prominent position, but like you're very close to kind of losing the main audience with him. Like,
right. People lose faith.
Just another guy.
People lose faith.
Yeah.
And you got something against Samoa Joe and Drew McIntyre, who kudos to him for reinventing himself. Mm-hmm. And they're taking him seriously. He's not in 3MB. Yeah. He's not jobbing out. They saw what he's done outside of WWE and put it into WWE, and he is like a top guy, which is hey, great for him. Like I think that's still a cool thing, but it's crazy that Drew McIntyre is technically an NXT call up when he wasn't before. Right? I don't think that he's been there twice, but this time around he was an NXT call up, and they've done some good things, but they could do better because Drew McIntyre's got the potential. Again, that's the reason why he's in this category. He's got potential, be a top guy, but I feel like he's like most people that are on Raw, at least. They hit that ceiling known as Brock Lesnar, and they don't get by that ceiling.
Yeah, you know, they're former world champions too, so credit to them. Like, they've kind of been there, yes, with other companies, but kind of know how to handle that. You know, I think it's important, like, if Vince is worried about putting on a new guy like Braun Strowman, at least you know, hey, Drew McIntyre, Samoa Joe, like they've been in that position with the company before. And I think that's important. And I think it gets glossed over a lot of the time. And I don't know why. It could just be timing, the fact that Brock Lesnar's here. If he wasn't here, who knows what could be happening when the world title picture. I do think that those guys would have gotten their shots well before they might or they might not. Who knows? But I just think the Brock Lesnar thing is a very real thing where it's a blanket. It's like a security blanket for Vince.
Yeah. All right. Another two people that are excelled in their roles in NXT, but weren't quite put in those roles, I would say, properly in WWE. Sami Zayn, he was a great babyface in NXT. People loved him to death. And he was a pretty good one in WWE, but just didn't quite catch on. I don't know if that's WWE's fault or that's his fault or just people just wasn't feeling it, whatever. Didn't quite catch on. But Sasha Banks was, in my opinion, when she was a heel in NXT, was the best heel in the world at that point. And she's really hasn't been a heel since. What in the hell, WWE? It's like Bobby Roode. Why?
Yeah.
You saw how great she was as a heel the next year. People were cheering her because they liked her. But that's understandable. I get that you want to listen to the crowd and flow with the crowd. They sometimes they do that, and sometimes they don't. It's like they do that with when they people.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Do that with Roman Reigns in 2015 when people were booing the hell out of him, and then flip him heel. But don't do it with Bobby Roode and Sasha Banks when they're still the character. People like them because they're good heels.
Yeah.
Not because they want to cheer them because they're good people. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Maybe it's hard for the WWE to understand. And that's the reason why they just don't understand it. They don't get it. And they like, oh, you like this person? We're going to make... But the problem is, that's the other problem. They make the character so bland and milquetoast that you don't want to cheer them anymore. It's like, oh, you made them stupid.
Yeah, they're lame. They're lame. Like, we don't want to... We don't cheer for lame. And, you know, it's... I understand that too, and I'm the same way. Like, I don't want to cheer for lame stuff. Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
Really, I don't cheer for anything. Technically, when I'm there, I just kind of enjoy the show. I don't. If I see like a crazy, but like when we were at Raw when Roman Reigns won, I popped out for that because it was like something we didn't expect. But I think that was like the last time Raw had like an unexpected moment like that. So.
Right. It's been a while.
Doesn't happen often.
Been a while. I put the Revival on this list, even though they're the tag team champions. I just felt like they could have been there a lot sooner. I know that they had the injuries that kind of hampered them, but it took a long time after they got it. They've been healthy for a while now, obviously. They've been on the shows for a while, and it just took forever for them to get to that spot, and just took too long, in my opinion. And people still care to a certain extent, but they were way more hotter a year ago than they are now.
Right. And
people were given with them.
At least for that, I don't think they really tweaked their characters in a way. Like, they're still kind of feel the same, but they were just losing every week. It's like, what the hell? Like, what good is that? You know, like, you keep the character, but then you don't do anything with them. You just have them lose. That, hey, wins and losses matter no matter what they think.
It's just crazy to think that, like, you see them in WWE. I know some people might look at them like, oh, they're not that exciting. But you see them in NXT, and they got the absolute most out of the Revival. They turned an old school tag team and made them like great in 16 and 17. A team that probably had no business being over in the 21st century. NXT got them over.
Yeah.
And WWE is like, what?
That's exactly what they did.
And I'm throwing last couple names out there. I don't know if they really fit, but I didn't want to put them in this next couple categories, which is. We'll get into it in a second, but Andrade Almas, they still got some work to do with him. He's not a complete lost cause, but they still got some work to do. Ember Moon, which she's top gal in NXT, and they haven't quite put her to that level, but they haven't like just forgotten about her either. She's still around. Sonya Deville is a she's around. She's probably doing more than expected. Honestly, she's on TV every week and in big matches, but you know, there's more to be done there. But surprises, like I said, Braun Strowman could probably fit into this category of people who we just had no idea that they were going to be good on the main roster. Now, this first surprise may surprise you, but it's not really because of the talent this person possessed. It's that I didn't think WWE would give him a real fair shake, and that's Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Kevin Owens, no doubt the man is talented. He deserves to be a top guy, but would he... When they put him in the NXT, there was no, and he said this in interviews, Triple H told him, like, look, we're not guaranteeing you a main roster spot. You might not be what they're looking for, but we're going to give you a chance down here in NXT. And he turned that into great run and then had a pretty good run so far in WWE.
Yeah.
He's had some off periods where it just seemingly, didn't know what to do with him, but he's had some great stuff too. Won a Universal title. The stuff with Chris Jericho was amazing.
Yep.
Like, even the stuff he just did with Sami Zayn and Shane McMahon and all that stuff was really cool too.
It was good.
Again, I'm not totally surprised that he can excel. It's just that he got the chance to excel.
Yes.
I'm kind of surprised at.
I think he, and I don't want to say he fell into that, but, you know, maybe third time's the charm. What he did when he got called up, you know, it was with John Cena. He got to do what Bray Wyatt didn't get to do, and he got to do what Rusev didn't get to do. So I'm thinking maybe that helped him a lot too in the grand scheme of his main roster stay. But man, like he made the most of it, and now there's reports out there that, you know, it'd be him and Daniel Bryan. But man, with Kofi, everything, I'm kind of like, I would love for that to happen, but at the same time, I'm conflicted, and we'll talk about that more in the coming weeks.
I said this last week. Give Kofi a one-night reign or two-night reign, and then he can lose it back. Just let Kofi be the champion for a day or two, and then have him say he won a WWE championship. I think just that alone.
Maybe he could do it.
That's all you had to do.
Yeah, maybe he could do it at Fastlane. We'll see.
Right. You know, I know people expected Christian to have a longer reign. He literally didn't even get to go home with the title. But he eventually won it back, but I think just the moment for Kofi would be cool. He doesn't have to have it long term and be defended at SummerSlam, you know. But just give it to him for one night. But that's my first surprise, is Kevin Owens. I know some people are like, what? I expected him, but did anybody really expect WWE to give him a fair shake?
I agree with that. I agree with your assessment because
and then they came out right off the bat, John Cena. It's like, whoa, he beat John Cena twice.
Yeah.
Wait a second. I wasn't ready for this.
Wait, this is WWE? What?
I was not ready for this. This is not like my WWE 2K creative character being John Cena. This is actual Kevin Owens. You know? Wasn't expecting that. You still with me today?
Okay.
I'm making sure you're still with me.
I agree with you. Yeah.
All right. Okay. You're just nodding your head. I can't. gotta convey these things. You gotta talk. My next surprise, I just mentioned it a little bit earlier, Alexa Bliss, again, she was good in NXT, especially when she turned heel and when it was the manager for Buddy and Murphy, right? Good. Did not expect it to be like a 4 or 5-time champion on the main roster, though.
Yeah, neither did I. And, you know, she was the one where the original, like, call-ups back then, it was like, okay, like, she'll be the one that maybe the quote-unquote worst out of them. And I don't like saying that.
Well,
but
was she talking like, a draft pick, right? Was she a draft pick?
Or but, you know,
they were draft still, or whatever?
Yeah, it was still, you know, at that point where it's like out of these people that weren't on the main roster, Alexa Bliss might be like the worst pick, which, hell, she definitely wasn't number one. And I think she's one that made the most out of from NXT to the main roster. And now she gets like reactions every week, like even in just interview segments, like people love seeing her.
Yeah.
She's great on the mic. You know, she's absolutely deserved of, you know, all the positive reviews, I guess, that she's gotten since being up in the main roster.
Fantastic on the mic. She's good in the ring. Mm-hmm. She's far exceeded at least my expectations. I'm pretty sure everybody else's expectations too. Person that I thought I always saw it coming. But like I'm a genius, something like that. But I always thought like he could this may not work in NXT, but this could potentially work in the main roster because it just fits the main roster better. And that was Elias. No one cared about Elias in NXT. They hated Elias in NXT. He would get booed out of the building every single week, and it just didn't work in NXT. He was just a main roster act. He gets to the main roster, boom, you got something right away, and it just fits. So he's a surprise for someone who was doing a lot of nothing in NXT to somebody who's on the show literally every single week, who's a fixture and is in matches and big matches every week.
They build his appearance every week too with the little, you know, right before the commercial break, the little strum. I like that.
Right.
I like that.
And he was nowhere near like that in NXT. Nothing. Right. Doing a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
All right. But he was always talented, so pleasant surprise. Another pleasant surprise, Carmella. when she first, she was obviously, if you know the history of NXT, she was with Enzo and Cass. And then when they got called up, she was still down in NXT. Yeah. And people were like, what's she going to do on her own? You know, what is she going to do? That was probably the best thing that ever happened to her. Because we see where the other two guys are now. They're not in WWE. Mm. And she got to kind of get, and they did it, obviously they did it on purpose, but they knew she needed some more seasoning. She needed some more work, some more, you know, polishing up. And then you send her up, and she's benefited from it. She's got to formulate her own thing. She's her own person, and she's never needed Enzo and Cass for anything since it's been on the main roster. She's never been with them at all. I don't think she's appeared on screen with them one time since she's been on the main roster. I could be wrong, of course. I don't watch all the shows, but they've never been an entity ever again since NXT.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't remember if she ever had anything with when Big Cass was on SmackDown before he got fired, but you know, and she's been a world champion. You know, that's in the heel way. Right. You know, like winning the Money in the Bank, and then with James Ellsworth, kind of using him like the sleazy, slimy, you know, character. Yeah. It's like it was perfect, and she's taking it and run with it. You know, it's almost like Alexa Bliss on Raw, what she did over there. Even though I think she was on SmackDown first, but you know, she's done a great job. Carmella is absolutely, and with the stuff with R-Truth was great too. You know, she might be the kind of person, and even with Naomi, like they kind of like as a tag team though, they made it work. You know, it was kind of weird just to throw them together, but. You know, they
work on chemistry. They're former dancers. So my dad, they got kind of the same kind of energy together.
Yeah, Carmella kind of views me like the team player that where you put her where you need her and she'll make it work. And
if you ever want if you ever need a big a feud out of nowhere, you just turn Carmella on Naomi. You got a feud.
Yeah,
that's that easy.
Yeah.
And the last surprise. I mean, I'm gonna throw a couple names in there, but last surprise that we can talk about a little bit in depth. Mandy Rose, surprise. I think a lot of people saw her and it was like the next Eva Marie.
I can
she can work.
Yes.
And of course she's obviously beautiful to look at, but she can work. She can go. So yeah, I think
she has a big win over Asuka.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But it didn't take a genius to think that WWE would give her a chance to succeed on the main roster. But she's running with it. It's not like she's dropping the ball. So
I agree.
Surprise. Another couple names. I didn't want to put these people in the next category of like the guys who are not surprises and not successes and not guys who could probably reach their potential. The only guess the next category is. But Nia Jax and the Iconics. Nia Jax is a kind of a surprise because I didn't think she would get heat for the reasons why she has the heat. legit don't like Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a surprise to me. And I'm surprised that the Iconics are just so damn funny. Like I know they were funny on NXT. But they probably just fit the main roster more than it did in NXT. Even they fit NXT, they fit more, even more on the main roster. So it's just they're probably going to get tag titles one day because now there's women's tag championships. But they're almost in the category of the people they could do something more with because they can do something more with them. They're very talented. But I didn't want to stick them just in that category. It's just I don't know. It's just this is a working list. All right, this isn't nothing definitive here. Just what I'm working with. But the next category of people are people that I think WWE pretty much dropped the ball with. Has it been on the main roster? And a lot of these people aren't with WWE anymore. You can probably figure out why. Probably the reason why they're on this list. But they dropped the ball with a lot of these guys and gals. And I think you can look no further, even though they're all still employed by WWE. The Wyatt family, man, they dropped the ball so bad with the Wyatt family from where they started out and where the vision they had of them that they not the vision they had, the vision they showed us from their first vignettes to where they ended up and to where they are now, which is nothing. Just so much potential, which is nothing. Just Luke Harper just sitting at home. What is he doing?
Yeah.
He's probably the best one of the three. He's just sitting at home.
Yeah. And
Bray Wyatt. Where's Bray Wyatt? Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I remember that Raw where Daniel Bryan turned on them and they were in the cage or whatever. And what a big moment that was for Daniel Bryan himself, like just the crowd and everything. I was like, that's the coolest thing I've seen in like, I couldn't remember how long. But then there were so many people that were like, oh, it makes the Wyatt family look bad. And I'm just like, ah, whatever. Like, who cares? This was about Daniel Bryan, not about the Wyatt family. But they never, it never seemed like they came back from that. You know, like, the whole John Cena thing was after that happened. I think, like, okay, maybe.
I think the John Cena thing is way more damaging than the Daniel Bryan stuff.
I agree.
At least people were into Daniel Bryan so much that it's like with Steve Austin. When he would do something to somebody, it wasn't about making the other person look bad. It was about Steve Austin. Like, people just love to see Steve Austin do stuff. He could do it to, he could literally do it to anyone. Like, he did it to Vince McMahon every week. Vince McMahon never lost his heat. He did stuff to The Rock, like run his car over or throw his, you know, throw him into the, like, the, no, he, Rock threw him into the river. But point is, he's made The Rock look silly on multiple occasions, and The Rock never lost his heat. Mostly because he's The Rock, but also because Steve Austin, people just love Steve Austin so much.
Right, and it's funny because I was not part of that crowd at all, and I was like, oh, see, like, the Cena program, there, it's the rebound for Wyatt and, you know, everyone around him, and then they dropped the ball with that. So, and then they did it, like, a few times. I think they had, like, two or three matches on pay-per-view that were, like, just Wyatt kept losing, and it's like, okay, then, like, what are you doing this for? So, yeah, like, I absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah, like I said, they had a decent run, especially when you look at the other names on this list. They had a great run compared to, like, you know, Apollo Crews or something like that. But it could have been so much more. And I can put them in this category because they are no more. It's not like the Wyatt family is still a thing. And it's, they can go on the other list. Like I said, the people who haven't quite reached their potential, they're pretty much not a thing anymore. So, yeah, they can go on this list. Also on this list, I got a lot of names, obviously. Adam Rose, that was doomed to fail from the very beginning. I don't know if that really, I mean, it did work in NXT, but you knew that wasn't going to last long on the main roster.
I don't know. Like, I thought that type of thing would be better on the main roster than NXT, and that was kind of the opposite. And then with No Way Jose, I thought it was like the same, the opposite. I was like, but it kind of worked in NXT. It doesn't work on the main roster. So I don't know why. I just, looking at it, I feel like that's the type of thing a main roster audience would kind of react to more.
You would think, but it's something that requires a lot of people involved. They got to get extras every week that costs money. And WWE just kind of fall off of stuff like that. They just do.
Yeah.
I mean, whereas Elias is simple and he doesn't need a bunch of people involved in a whole, like, big production, they did. I don't know. Yeah. It just didn't work. So No Way Jose is on this list as well, who, I mean, I never expected big things from, really, on the main roster. Another person they dropped the ball with horrendously was the artist formerly known as Adrian Neville, or just Neville, or now known as Pac outside of WWE. I mean, the guy was super talented. People were into him, and they put a cape on him when he got to the main roster. Like, what? Why is he a superhero? And then he went to the cruiserweight division, kind of reinvented himself, and then they was like, nope, you're just a cruiserweight now. I was like, wait a minute, I just had a match with Seth Rollins like a year or two ago. People were ready for me to be champion. And they're like, nah, we're not going to worry about that. Forget about that. So, again, super talented guy. They had him in NXT, like the early days of the WWE Network NXT, like 2013, 2014, and just didn't do much with him.
Yeah.
You know, just a complete drop of the ball, failure, you know, and just didn't happen. Another person, Eva Marie. I mentioned her earlier. I don't know if this is really WWE's fault. Because she wasn't good in the ring. Let's just put it that way. I mean, it also pushed her out on the main roster, like, day one, right? When she was on Total Divas. And it just pushed her out there in matches on Raw, and it was like, she don't even know how to sell. Like, she can't do anything. And then they sent her back down to NXT, but by that point, they already kind of ruined her. Any chance she had of being, like, you know, endeared to the fans, and she's not in with the company anymore.
It was funny when, you know, it was like the big countdown, and then when she was ready to, you know, wrestle, like, there was all these mishaps happening.
I was
like, okay, like, I can get behind this, but they never did anything with it. If that was, like, her character just trying to get out of matches, like, to me, at least it's something, and it would get some heat on her, but it just never materialized.
Yeah. I'll give her this much credit. She did play up the role well. I'll give her that much credit. Even in NXT, she played the role pretty well. She got better in NXT, but she obviously wasn't still great. But she kind of found her way a little bit in NXT. Yeah. But again, by that point, it was too late. Then she had suspension, and then, you know, then she just was gone. So another person they massively dropped the ball with was Emma. My goodness.
Yeah. I was looking forward to Emelina, man. I was looking forward to it.
No, you weren't. You're a liar.
Nah, I don't believe you. That would have been good for her.
She was big over in NXT with the whole popping the bubbles thing when she come to the ring. WWE just didn't buy into that for whatever reason. The character was kind of weird, I'll admit. And then she's kind of just floating around. But when she went back to NXT, because she had two cents in NXT, she kind of reinvented herself. She kind of hooked up with Dana Brooke. Even though Dana Brooke got called up to the main roster before she did, that was kind of weird. But she kind of changed the look with the shades, the aviators, and the shoulder pads. And I was like, you know what? I like that Emma. Like, that's the Emma that can make some money. And even with that Emma, they didn't do anything with her. I didn't get it at all. Obvious talent. She had the look. She had, you know, they tried to change her to her like a ballroom dancer or something like that. And not buying it.
Sad. That was gonna be my favorite women's wrestler. And
he was really good too. I mean, talent, lots of talent. Vaudevillains. Wow.
Oh,
remember them? Aiden English still technically with the promotion.
Oh my god!
In that like kind of no man's land where they just don't know what to do with them. Simon Gotch, not so much. That gimmick was always it was over in NXT, but it was obviously very limited.
It was awesome. I loved it.
I didn't love it. It was always weird because they got tag title shots at the first Brooklyn show, but Enzo and Cass didn't. They're from that area. I didn't understand that. Didn't understand that. And then the pairing with Blue Pants was kind of weird. It was just,
Look,
I rooted for them. I hope they succeeded. I was rooting for them. Didn't quite happen. And
now there's one left doing commentary on 205 Live.
There you go. How about Summer Rae? I thought she was pretty good when she was there, and then she just wasn't. Yeah. They just let her sit home for a long time and didn't use her. Rick Swann, he kind of did it to himself with his whole situations. They liked him, though. They he was Cruiserweight champion. Then he messed it all up with some other stuff. He got into an incident. We won't talk about it, but we won't dig into it, the details at least. But there was an incident outside of the ring, and he got in trouble, and off he went. Austin Aries didn't get any trouble. They just didn't use him, and he didn't like it, and he didn't like just being in the Cruiserweight division. So off he went. But there was some potential there. Austin Aries is talented.
I just don't see where he would have fit, you know, on the main roster.
Fair enough.
He's in his niche, you know, like an Impact or an NXT. But WWE main roster, I kind of don't see how he fits.
Well, they just put him as a Cruiserweight. He could be more than a Cruiserweight.
Well, that's what they tried, right?
No, I said he could be more than a Cruiserweight.
Oh, more than a Cruiserweight.
Right, they just stuck him in the Cruiserweight division. And I don't think that was the spot for him.
He's like a Leo Rush because he's so tiny.
He had more muscle tone than Leo Rush, at least. Jeez. Some quick names to get out the way before we dig into some other names. How about
the Austin Aries marks are going to come after me.
How about Mojo Rawley?
Yeah, whatever they're doing with him, he's looking in the mirror every week. But he reminds me of that meme and that guy looking in the mirror and the cartoon like pointing back at him because a mirror.
But, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. He's trying though. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
How about Dana Brooke?
Yeah, she could be more of a force in the women's division, either on Raw or SmackDown. I don't know why they don't utilize her that way, but
they don't believe in her for some reason. They're not rocking with her. She's got
to put her with, you know, Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews. But
speaking of Apollo Crews, how about Apollo Crews?
That might be a big letdown for me. I thought they were going to do some good things with him, but he's just lost to the main roster.
There was a problem with Apollo Crews. They called him up, I think, too early.
Yeah.
He hadn't really done a whole lot in NXT. The talent was obviously there, but part of NXT's job, so to speak, is to develop talent. They didn't have to develop his ability. but they did have to develop his personality. And they tried with like videos, stuff like that, but he didn't really get to expand upon that before he got called up. Then he's just suddenly in the main roster and supposed to figure it out. I think they kind of did him a disservice. Yeah. Speaking of disservice, how about Ty Dillinger? Who, I mean, look, I don't know. I take that back because I never expected him to be a top guy in WWE.
Yeah,
I thought people were like, oh, man, he's supposed to be a top guy, do something with him. He wasn't a top guy in NXT. He was over, but he was what I would call a gatekeeper. He was the guy that you beat in order to get elevated to the next level. And that's what he was in NXT. He wasn't like a top guy in NXT. He was a gatekeeper in NXT. So at best, he's probably going to be a gatekeeper in the main roster. But the thing about Tyler Breeze is that, not Tyler Breeze, Ty Dillinger, is that he just asked for his release from WWE.
Yes.
So he's probably on his way out soon. So he's looking for more.
Hopefully he gets it. He could have been a 205 Live guy.
I guess. Is he don't look like he's under 205 pounds, but he's out. He's out. He's on the way out. He's done with WWE.
Neither does Buddy Murphy. He's the champ.
That is true. That's very true. He's bigger than Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is a WWE heavyweight champion.
See, there's a reason they don't say heavyweight, though, in that.
That's true, but technically he is. You also got Tyler Breeze in there.
I loved what they were doing with him and Fandango.
Like, and it's nice because he got hurt. Fandango got hurt. Fandango was apparently an NXT call-up, too, technically. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze and Fandango, I guess we could group them together. Tyler Breeze, I will say this. Tyler Breeze had something when he was in NXT. He had matches with Jushin Liger. They trusted him, I would say. Just never translated to the main roster for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought they could have done something. He's kind of funny. He's funny theme song. He really plays up the character, and it just...
It was a good gimmick, I think. But
I agree.
Just didn't translate.
He could work, you know? It's not for lack of trying from his standpoint. Kalisto is apparently an NXT call-up. I forgot about that. I forgot he's part of the Lucha Dragons.
Lucha House Party, man.
He's a Lucha Dragon first, and... Yeah.
Why don't they just call him that? That's a better name than Lucha House Party.
But I forget that Kalisto's a former United States champion.
Yeah.
Before they put him on 205 Live, because they waited like 8 years to do that.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. And I don't even, they were like, he's a multiple time, I think he helped the U.S.
Yeah, he won it twice.
Yeah.
He beat, what's the name? Del Rio for it twice.
That's right. Del Rio.
What an odd run he's had.
Was Del Rio ever in NXT? Jeez.
All right. I ain't gonna get into that before he come out and beat me up or something like that. speaking of the Lucha Dragons, guess who they beat to become NXT Tag Team Champions? The Ascension. Remember that?
I was gonna say that. Except I wasn't. I didn't know they were still a thing.
I think they still probably are the longest reigning NXT Tag Team Champions in history. Probably. I gotta look that up. Hmm. Point is, they were a dominant team in NXT.
Yeah.
What in the hell happened? How did they go from these dominant, just kick-ass team to, like, not even, like, course of years, like, right away, like, jobber status in WWE? What happened? Why? Why on earth did that happen?
What did they not see
in the Ascension to, like, just completely forget about what they did in NXT. Let's brush that all aside.
We don't want them confused for the Legion of Doom.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's not do that because they came out in shoulder pads and face paint like the Legion of Doom.
Which yeah, because they did not have in NXT. Still, yeah.
did not have shoulder pads. They may have painted their faces a little bit in NXT. I don't remember if they painted their faces. They definitely didn't have shoulder pads, but they brought out shoulder pads for some reason.
Well, we don't want people chanting LOD during their matches, so they got to be quick and they got to be losers.
They lost. They were losing to old guys right away.
I think Curt Hawkins like beat their record. It just seemed like they lost week after week after week.
I still don't understand what happened. Like, I don't get it. Maybe NXT had a bad evaluation on them. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't know. Longest reign in NXT tag team history. is the Ascension. 343 days. And still to this day, the longest reigning NXT Tag Team Champions in history.
Give them the extra 3 weeks to make it a year, huh?
I don't know. Lucha Dragons, 139 days. Not quite as long. Speaking of NXT Tag Team Champions, the next three groups are former NXT Tag Team Champions, and I'm going to mention Sanity. What happened?
Oh, jeez.
Where are they? Where they at, though? I don't know. Three talented guys. Nikki Cross is the best member of the group. She's the fourth person in that group, but she's the best member. She doesn't even associate with these guys no more. What happened to Sanity? Former NXT Tag Team Champions. American Alpha should have never broke up this team. Former NXT Tag Team Champions. I guess the rule is, the lesson to be learned here is, don't win an NXT Tag Team titles. They will not care about you once you get to the main roster. Ask the Revival, as Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
What happened?
Again, go win the NXT UK tag titles, but stay away from the regular NXT tag titles.
Apparently. All the American Alpha, great tag team. Two amateur wrestlers, couldn't get any better. They broke them up for no reason.
Yeah.
No explanation. No, they just, you're on one show, you're on the other show. They tried to make Jason Jordan a thing, made him Kurt Angle's son. Unfortunately, he got hurt, but that whole thing was bizarre. It was bizarre. That's all I can say about Chad Gable, obviously talented. He's a tag team champion now with Bobby Roode. What? The poor guy's doing everything he can, but this is just weird. What happened? American Alpha, man. That was a great tag team, bro. Like the 21st century Steiner brothers. And
yeah,
it's not like it ended because Jason Jordan got hurt. It ended because they split him up and then Jason Jordan got hurt. Didn't make any sense then, so it doesn't make any sense now. Authors of Pain, they, from day, literally night one of them being on the main roster, messed up when they took away Paul Ellering and then replaced him with Drake Maverick.
Who pissed himself.
Right, with Rockstar Spud. What? I remember when I first saw that, and I was like, huh? Wait, isn't he still the general manager on 205 Live? He's also the manager of Authors of... Did you just look around the locker room? Like, who wants to be a manager? Who wants to be with Authors of Pain? You, come on, let's do this. No, didn't think about like whether it fit. Didn't think about whether it like made sense. First person that jumped up and wanted to be the Authors of Pain's manager got to do it, and it was Drake Maverick. And then they just disappeared for long periods of time. Authors of Disappearance. it doesn't make any sense.
AOD.
Doesn't make any sense. They just completely dropped the ball. But the biggest, I don't know if this is the biggest. I don't know. But it's definitely probably the most infamous the instance of the dropping the ball in from NXT call-ups to the main roster. The biggest fumble that I can think of, at least. My opinion. You could probably think of another one. End Zone Cast has to be on that list. From a team that was super over in NXT. Didn't win the tag titles, but they're very over. Get to the main roster, very over again. And then calamity ensues. Where Enzo is constantly in the news for stuff he's apparently doing backstage. Then, you know, they split him up and no one wanted that. And then Big Cass is like not that good on his own, but they're trying with him. They have all these wits. It's just, and then Enzo goes on his own. He's a cruiserweight champion. Then he gets into trouble and all this stuff. Not into trouble because nothing happened. Like, he never prosecuted or charged, but his name was in the headlines for not so good reasons. And then he gets fired, and then Cass gets let go. And it's just like, what the hell happened? Look at where they were. This is 2019. So let's say 2016 when they first came up to the main roster. And where they are now, like, they're not even there anymore. And they're not even really relevant outside of WWE anywhere else. What the hell happened here?
You don't think they did it to themselves?
Maybe. I'm not saying it's like WWE's fault. It's just like,
okay. Maybe, just in general, the biggest flop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe not fumble from WWE standpoint, but just like
Yeah.
What the hell happened? Like, failure, just all around failure. It has to be end zone cast, right? Because for what they were, and to, they're not even with the promotion, and it's not like they willingly left. I'm pretty sure Big Cass got released, right? Like, he got fired.
Yeah.
I was like,
I don't know. And, you know, you thought for sure they would be tag team champions on either brand, but I don't think they never won the tag titles on the main roster, right?
No.
So, I guess, like, an act, quote unquote, that over didn't need the titles, but because the titles are just props and all that jazz. So,
no, I feel about that.
But, I could be with you on that one with, you know, kind of like the biggest flop from NXT to WWE's main roster. And just based off, you know, like you said, what was going on in the news, you know, being in the headlines for the wrong reasons. Man, and here I thought, you know, Enzo going to the cruiserweight division would, you know, give it a boost. You know, 205 Live definitely wasn't the way it is now. Like, it's been a good show for a long time now. It wasn't, you know, back when it started. It just needed something. And Enzo was kind of that boost at the time. Would it last like 3 months? I don't even know how long it lasted with him down there, but maybe it was longer. I don't know. It didn't feel like very long, but man, that's, it just shows you when you put as much time and money and effort into something, how quickly like it could not work out. So maybe that's part of why WWE makes the decisions they make that we don't understand, because to us it's like, well, that person's over, why aren't they pushing them, whatever, maybe there's something going on behind the scenes, who knows. But that's a big one. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and we'll probably have to revisit this in a year and add some names to some of these lists that
about. And there's supposed to be like a superstar shakeup after Mania, right? So we'll see more NXT talents called up.
Yeah.
From NXT UK, and you know, who knows, by the end of this year we might have an NXT in another continent somewhere. So
that's all possibilities.
Yeah.
But you know, for the future NXT call-ups, let's just hope that things go better for them than the last group of people that we talked about, specifically Enzo and Cass, and that they get to kind of fulfill their potential and not be creatively stifled like so many others have been since they got called up to the main roster. Because it's just, you know, again, go ahead.
No, I was like, you know who I'm really scared about getting called up?
Pete Dunne. Yeah. He might be a whole... He might be a 205 Live guy. I don't know if they're going to... I'd rather just have him 205 Live, because I know he's a bruiserweight, but him on the main roster, I don't trust it. I don't have any faith in WWE by these guys. Velveteen Dream is another one. He would, on the surface, you would think he'd be great for the main roster. They perfectly understand. Yeah. Remember Goldust back in the day? Remember this guy? I don't know, man. I don't know. Can't trust them, because I would have figured they would have got Bailey down to a T. They would have... Sasha Banks... Perfect. Yeah, she's gonna be great. Nope. There's been some missteps along the way with Sasha Banks. Let's not kid ourselves. Even Becky Lynch, she's great now, but there's a reason why she was so pissed off, because they would drop the ball with her. So let's hope that this next group of guys and gals, so you would assume, like, you know, you saw the four guys come up Monday and Tuesday, you know, Velveteen Dream you'd assume is up next at some point. Undisputed Air is gonna be coming up soon. I don't know, from the women's side, I'm trying to think of, I guess, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, Bianca Belair, just to name a few of those women that will also be called up at some point in the near future, you would think. You know, Jessamyn Duke, Marina Shafir, along with, you know, Shayna Baszler, that they just get to a chance to reach their potential. But at some point, though, WWE's got a little bit of a talent bubble going on here, because they got so much talent. We talked about it earlier. And they can't focus on everybody, obviously. There's just too much people. They literally don't know what to do with it all. So it's like, what do you do? Do you start letting people go? You don't want to see people lose their jobs, but at least now there seems to be an alternative with AEW that they can still make a good living here in the United States and not have to go to Japan, not have to go to Mexico or, you know, somewhere else to make a good living here and still be on TV. But again, you don't want to see people lose their jobs, but it's almost, it would seem like it to be in WWE's best interest to kind of trim down their main roster a little bit, because NXT is constantly sending up people, and they should be, because these guys are talented. They deserve to be in the main roster. But WWE literally doesn't know what to do with it all. So what do you do? So
yeah,
we'll see. Time will tell, as we always say. And yeah, keep checking back. We're going to be talking about this again probably next year at this time, and seeing how this next batch of NXT call-ups, how they fared on the main roster. But until then, Nick, take us out with some plugs.
You can follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter and on Facebook. Like us, facebook.com/straightshooters. And you can follow me at Nick Bacone on Twitter. I am at phillyinfluencer.com. You want to check up, get, you know, all the news and info about Bryce Harper possibly joining the Phillies. That'd be great. You can check that out. And phillyvoice.com. I will have a WrestleMania recap. Come WrestleMania, no Elimination Chamber recap. So, but you can also check out this podcast there as well every week at phillyvoice.com.
I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. And if you don't find me on Twitter, you'll always find me out here in these streets, although it's a little slushy out there with this weather, so I may not be out in these streets because this weather's kind of nasty. It ain't snowing too bad, but the weather's not great for me to be out here in these streets. It's not out in these streets weather, so to speak, right? But I know you can find us on these social media pages and streaming devices. We're all over the place, baby. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on TuneIn Radio. We're on Player FM. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Spreaker. We're on, where else? Did I miss anything? SoundCloud and Spotify. Also, the mothership, wildfireradio.com, where, of course, you can find all 184 prior episodes of The Straight Shooters. And, of course, let me not forget our Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. For the nominal fee of $1.99, you can tune in to our exclusive content, including some live commentary specials and a very special episode we recently did with ECW legend, The Blue Meanie, talking about our time at the ECW arena. We tied into me getting a Super Bowl ring there last year. It's a lot of fun. It's a great show. Blue Meanie was gracious enough with his time, gracious enough to stop through and talk some wrestling with us and some sports, some football, stuff like that. So tune in for that. $1.99, patreon.com/shootersradio. But in the meantime, for Nick McCone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening and watching episode 185 of The Straight Shooters, and we'll catch you all again next week.
Peace.
You've been listening to The Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio. For advertising opportunities, contact Nick Picone via email at PiconeNick@gmail.com or call 856-625-1190.